something kind of cool that's going on in the morning. While I am preaching from this pulpit, my daughter is preaching from the pulpit at San Jose United Methodist Church, where she became the pastor yesterday. I kid her all the time. I tell her that her becoming a Methodist pastor, when her mother had been an Episcopal priest for 30 years, was the height of adolescent rebellion. I just thought it was kind of cool that we were both preaching this morning. One of the things that I did when I served as campus pastor and then acting dean at the Cathedral in Lexington, Kentucky, was to plan, coordinate, and teach the learning lessons for a week-long junior high summer camp at the Diocesan Camp and Conference Center. I used the series of Indiana Jones films as the framework for the lessons, and I had a really great time with that. I spent a week teaching a group of 87 wonderful young people, and it was one of those high-line experiences I will always look back on with fond memories. One of the activities in which the young people participated during their mandatory fun time in the afternoons was rappelling from the cliffs that surrounded the mountainous conference center. Their enthusiasm for learning the skill of rappelling off the cliffs came back to mind for me as I read the scripture lessons for today. One of the things the young people learned was how easy it was to flip upside down. This brought shrieks and laughter. They learned that the best way to right yourself when you found yourself upside down is to let go of the rope. It seems to me that all of our readings today are about letting go of the rope, whatever that rope we cling to may be, and righting ourselves to be the people God calls us to be. In the Old Testament lesson, Naaman, the commander of the Aramean army, had developed some sort of a skin lesion. Almost any kind of skin condition in those days could be called leprosy. So we can't be sure that it was true leprosy that he had, but at any rate, he was sent by the king of Aram to Israel because a young girl captured in a grave there had said that in Israel, Naaman would be healed. But when Naaman arrived in Israel, first the king got upset and said that he couldn't cure Naaman. Then when Naaman was sent to the prophet Elisha, he was offended because Elisha would not come out and speak with him in person. Then he got really angry when all the prophet's message said was to wash in the river Jordan 7 times. Naaman was expecting Elisha to come out and perform some kind of electric light show to miraculously heal him. For Naaman, Elisha had flipped his world upside down. Things were not looking like they should, and Naaman was in a rage about it. This just wasn't good enough for the likes of the commander of the Aramean army. The rope that Naaman was holding onto was his pride. It took the persuasion of his servants and his general need to be healed to get him to let go of that rope of pride and do as Elisha said. When he did, suddenly things came round right, and we are told his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Have you ever had an experience like that in which you felt that your world had just been turned upside down and things just weren't working out the way you thought they should? I am reminded of the suffering of the Israelites when they were defeated by the Babylonians. The temple was destroyed, and they were carried off into exile. They had always believed that God existed only in the temple. And when the temple was destroyed, and they were taken from their beloved land, they thought that God was no longer with them. Their world was turned upside down, and nothing looked right. The temple was everything to them because God dwelt there.
That was their rope. So the prophet Isaiah had to help them to let go of that rope and to realize that God was with them no matter where they were, not just in the temple in Jerusalem. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he reminds us of the importance of community in keeping ourselves upright in the faith. We are to be gentle with each other, encouraging and nurturing each other in the faith. Paul reminds us that we need constantly to be aware of our own propensity for slipping and turning things in our lives upside down. We reap what we sow. Paul calls us as Christians to work for the good of all, and especially those of the community of faith. We are a new creation in Christ. We can let go of the old works. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are here to help and support us. Naaman, in our Old Testament story, would have stalked off in anger and never received the healing he needed if it had not been for his servants, his community, who cared enough to encourage and support him in making the right decision. The Israelites would have drowned in depression and self-pity while in exile had it not been for the encouragement of Isaiah, and then each other as they learned to see God in a different way. In Luke's gospel, Jesus laid the groundwork for the importance of community when he sent out the 70 to preach the gospel. He warned them of the dangers. I send you out like sheep among wolves. He sent them out by twos so that they could support each other. I wrote a song about that one time. I send you out two by two to preach the word of God, no bag, no money, food, nor meat, just sandals on your 1-2 feet. Anyway, but he didn't send them out, you know, he didn't want them to go by themselves. He wanted them to go with someone else so that they could support each other. All along, Jesus' disciples thought that he was going to bring in a new kingdom and would overthrow the Romans who occupied the land. Jesus was ushering in a new kingdom, just not the kind his disciples thought he was. After his resurrection appearances, they had to let go of that rope and come around right. And look what happened. I mean, we're here today, 2,000 years plus later. This weekend, we're celebrating our nation's independence. That independence did not come easily. It was won by those who believed in the right of freedom for each and every individual, and in the kind of democratic process that would guarantee that right. We have not always been perfect, nor are we perfect now in the accomplishment of that goal. We are deeply divided, but I still believe that it is a goal still highly prized by most of our citizens. I have traveled and lived all over the world, and I still believe that America is the greatest country in the world, that we enjoy more freedom and a better standard of living than any people in any country in the world. Not only that, but I believe we are a generous nation, coming to the rescue when there is a need, in earthquake, famine, and flood, with food, funds, and often rescue teams. I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. We have, and we do, and we probably still will. But hopefully we learn from our mistakes so that we don't repeat them again. When we have achieved our very best, it is usually because we have let go of the rope, whatever that security rope might be, and taken a risk for those we love, for a message we thought was important, for a principle worth dying for, in some way made a sacrifice to secure the right of freedom and security for ourselves and others. That requires great courage, just like the courage required for those 70 Jesus sent out into a dangerous world. It requires great love, a love that transcends all things. It was the message of that kind of love that Jesus sent those 70 disciples out to preach. It's the love that you seek when you come here. He told them the only way to be successful was to detach themselves from the stuff that would distract them from the goal for which they were sent. They had to let go of their ropes. It was my hope and prayer as we celebrate our independence that as Americans and as Christians, we will always remember the principle of freedom for all upon which this country was built and which we uphold in our baptismal covenant. Open your prayer book and look to the baptism service and you will see that we make that pledge. I pray that we will never be afraid to sacrifice the stuff, to let go of the rope, and take the risks necessary to be the highest example of the living gospel Jesus calls each of us to preach in the way we live our lives day by day.